Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us in the second half of the program. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward to PK's visit. Joe, the latest college football playoff rankings are out last night. I will quickly run through the ones of relevance. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama in your top four. Georgia at 5, Texas Tech at 6, Ole Miss 7, Oregon at 8, Notre Dame 9, Texas at number 10. And, of course, my computer has just frozen. So I've got your top 10 and Vanderbilt's at number 14. I'll get 11 through 13 when my computer unfreezes.
I mean, if I was prepared, I would be here to back you up. I don't have it in front of me. Sorry. And I'm still not very good with this.
The point is, Vanderbilt is at number 14, and there's a lot of discourse about that right now. I was talking to you earlier in the break. There's a headline from last night from our friend Blake Topmeyer from USA Today.
Whose nickname we won't use again.
We will not do that. Here's how he kind of opens it on X. He says, "You say eye test. I say brand bias plus recency bias. How else to explain how 7-2 Notre Dame is sitting pretty for the college football playoff while 8-2 Vanderbilt lags way behind?" So, Joe, I ask you, Vanderbilt at number 14, are we seeing some Vanderbilt Commodore disrespect going on with the college football playoff committee?
Yeah, no, I was listening, you know, last night doing the Mac Rhodes teleconference. I will say Mac Rhodes is a better chairperson than Ward Manuel was from Michigan last year. He never said anything at all. Like he had an amazing knack for just saying words. Yeah, well, you know, we put that team there, you know, because we kind of put that team there. Thanks for the call.
Indeed.
Mac gets into a little bit more detail with his answers, but when Blake got on there and asked him about this, I'm like, oh, here we go. And I will say, like, essentially, like Mac's answer last night, I'm reading Blake's column. I'm seeing if he has the whole quote. If not, I'll go to the transcript. But, I mean, he essentially, like, ripped Vanderbilt. And to me, he kind of used Pavia against Vanderbilt. Again, it's sort of eye of the beholder on that. But, like, basically, you know, he talked about how, you know, Vanderbilt did just struggle. Or they had to go to overtime to beat Auburn, which is true. That's fair. But then I should have the quote in front of me, and I don't. I can paraphrase, though. Essentially, you know, he talked about how Pavia carries the team, you know. And it's like, well, yeah, that's true, but I mean, is that
a bad thing?
Yeah, like, is that necessarily a bad thing? I mean, as Topmeyer points out, and he actually didn't just ask about Notre Dame, he asked about Utah also being ahead of Vanderbilt. I mean, look, you can dice this up different ways, but Vanderbilt's, like, the metric strength of record, strength of schedule, all that stuff, those are better than Notre Dame. Also, as Topmeyer points out, you know, big good losses are that's frankly like one of Notre Dame's, like, what is Notre Dame's best
that's
win?
Its best case. Yeah. They have lost to two.
The only
teams.
Two losses are really good. They're top 15. Well, Vanderbilt's are both top 10.
Right.
So their losses are also better. So then, you know, I mean, it does. Now, is it actually brand bias? Yeah. I mean, I think these are human beings. This is another thing to always, I brought it up several times last year. And you got to remember this when we talk about this. Again, we talk about the committee, and you've heard me say this before, but we talk about the committee in terms of the committee did this and the committee did that. And they, like, they're one brain collectively. We're going to put this team here. We're going to put this team. They talk about everything. Then they all individually anonymously vote. And then it shakes out on the board. Which means that all it takes is one person in there to be like, yeah, I heard all you guys are saying, but I think Vanderbilt sucks because it's Vanderbilt, so I vote them 19th. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the only thing about this that I think it's worth repeating. And some people would say, well, that's a stupid way to do it. But that's how the basketball has done it all along, too. And, I mean, frankly, I think it gets you out of, like, total groupthink, you know? Like, you're allowed to still, as a person in that committee room, have your own opinion. But it does make it so we always talk about it like this big monolith does this, this, this. And sometimes those people sit in the room and say, how the hell did they end up there? Like, yeah. I voted them ninth, you know? It's just something worth keeping in mind on this, on how the process works. Let me give you the roads. So, real quick. I appreciate the question, certainly, about Vanderbilt. Playing an Auburn team that made a coaching change, having to take that to overtime, a win in overtime at home. A lot of conversation about Diego Pavia, maybe the most important individual to their team as they go. Then he talks about, you know, the wins versus Missouri, blah, blah, blah. And then Notre Dame, he says, you know, they've won seven straight. I think early in the year they lost two by a total of 4 points. Defensively, they struggle. The committee really likes Notre Dame as a complete team defensively. Their run game is as good as anybody, if not the best in the country when you think about their two backs, Love and Price. Which, again, it's like – and then he gets into Carr's good. He says, these are all the things we talked about and looked at as a committee and obviously gave them an edge over Vanderbilt. So, I mean, it's like, okay, so you love their running game.
This is what I'm talking about with the committee. They just make stuff up. And that's my biggest problem with all this is they make stuff up, and then they don't stick to it. I mean, the priority 1 week or the metrics that you choose to rank some teams is not applied to other teams, other situations, or it's not applied to the same team 3 weeks from now. I mean, that's what is the – there's not a perfect way to do this. I understand this. You know, we talked about this last year, Joe, of, you know, when it was the BCS and it was basically a computer doing all this, people hated that. There's not a perfect way to do it. But there's no way you can make an argument to me right now that Notre Dame deserves to be in a playoff over Vanderbilt. Like, I'm sorry. As you just pointed out, I understand that it's Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is a very talented football team. They're probably going to get in. And I've said this, if they go 10-2 and they end up beating Pittsburgh on the road this weekend and they're 10-2 at the end of the year, then they probably should get in.
Yeah, no, they should.
But, like, I think there's a lot of assuming going on right now with them on things that they just haven't done yet.
Yeah.
Like, they have one good win. One. And that's against a USC team that, frankly, I don't think is very good, but they just happen to be ranked right now.
Yeah.
So they have one good win. They have an opportunity for another one this weekend, so we'll see if they can get it. Their losses are against the Miami team on the road, a Texas A&M team that's very good at home. But as you pointed out, like, Vanderbilt's got better losses than Notre Dame does right now. It makes no sense to me that they're in over Vanderbilt.
But the only counter I will make is technically the USC win is something Vanderbilt doesn't have right now. You know, so I mean they don't have the top 25 win. So I mean that's you know, because Missouri dropped out. After losing to the Aggies. So I don't like going hardcore, you know. To me, like we were talking about with Ubben, if you win at Knoxville, that's a good win, whether they end up there in the top 25 or not. It would definitely be better for Vanderbilt if they do win that game. If Tennessee has just beaten Florida. But, you know, like Austin says, this is why I hate the way they have it set up. They pick and choose based on popularity. The whole system's flawed. I'm not a Vanderbilt fan, but I think they deserve a chance. They have a chance. I mean, look, I agree. You know, I mean, every week there are, again, I'm going to stick with, I just do not agree with Indiana being ahead of Texas A&M. I mean, Texas A&M, I understand Missouri's down to their, you know, their third QB and the freshman, but they went in there and beat the crap out of them, and their strength of record is number one.
Yeah.
In ESPN's, in ours at the Athletic. Now, the committee does not tell us their formula, but I how could it be that different, right? So, I mean, I think they should be number one. Ultimately, you know, when this all comes down to is ESPN has decided we want this to be a weekly drama, so we get to bitch about it every week.
Yeah.
All that matters is that they get it right in the end.
Yeah, for sure. And there's still a lot of football left to be played. I mean, if you want to get really technical here, look, do I think Ohio State's probably the best football team in America? Yeah, probably. I mean, they're unbelievably talented. They haven't lost yet this year. But if you want to go by achievement right now,
right,
they should not be number one.
I agree. Texas A&M should be, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just
– I think, again, that's like last year. It's like all the, oh, man, these Bama, Ole Miss, they beat the crap out of Indiana. I don't necessarily disagree, but that's not how you do it, right? Like, you can't do it that way.
Well, that's why
Ohio State shouldn't be number one.
The thing is, it's not how you do it, but it is.
But like, it is.
But it's different criteria for every ranking they do.
So, yeah. So, last year, I think they got it right. I do. I think they got it right with Florida State. So, in the end this year, and we don't know what the results will be. What is? We don't know what right is yet.
Right.
They better get it right.
615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the college football playoff ranking coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul Kuharski will be with us later in the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Taking your thoughts on the college football playoff rankings, Vanderbilt at number 14 last night. Some work left to do here for the Commodores. A lot of thoughts on the Notre Dame part of this on the text line.
Everybody hates Notre Dame.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like Notre Dame. There's no doubt about that. One texter says, wait a minute, A&M should be number one, but Notre Dame, who lost them by 1 point with a freshman quarterback, making his second start, shouldn't be number nine? Make that make sense?
Well, and then my answer was, well, Notre Dame lost another game too. And unfortunately for Notre Dame, that game is not holding up, because Miami is right now. Although Miami is technically in the field, they are probably on the outside looking in at the ACC title game, but right now they're still the highest ranked, so they would be in the field today for whatever that's worth. But, yeah, I mean, they have two losses, so that's why.
Yeah.
It still can be a good win. We're talking about – no one's sitting here – we aren't sitting here saying Notre Dame should be 33rd, okay? It's a good win for Texas A&M at Notre Dame.
Yep.
But the question is just comparing Notre Dame and Vanderbilt, why is there a gap between them in the rankings? And as another texter points out – and, again, Topmeyer asked about this too, you know, Utah. Why is Utah ahead of Vanderbilt? Utah – And I'm going there right now because now I know that, you know, they got thumped at home by Texas Tech, which was kind of the announcement that Texas Tech is legit. I mean, you know, Utah beat, you know, they lost a tough one at BYU, and BYU just got rolled by Texas Tech. I mean, Utah just blew out Cincinnati, and Cincinnati is a ranked win, so that's their best win. Texas Tech at home and at BYU compared to at Alabama and at Texas. Again, we're comparing losses. Well, I'd give Vanderbilt the edge there.
Yeah, I would too. So you've thrown this out there too. Which team that can win it all would you be okay with? No, like if you're a Vanderbilt fan, obviously you want Vanderbilt to win it all. But like looking at the rankings right now of teams that are national title contenders, which teams that legitimately have a chance to win this thing would you be okay with winning? Like, I mean, you can take Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia off the board for yours truly. Have no interest in watching them win a championship again.
Yeah, so I'm supposed to write a column every week off the rankings. And actually, like, I just write so far, there's really nothing. I have, you know, the Vanderbilt thing. But there's really nothing. Like, last year there was some stuff. Last year Texas was crazy overranked. Notre Dame again. So, anyway, I decided to just rank the teams that would be least nauseating if they won it all. And, yes, the teams you just said are all basically grab a bucket and hurl. They're at the bottom. So I ranked the 25 teams. I want to know if you here's my philosophy on this.
Okay.
Because I know some people would say, well, the whole country would be so excited, like if Vanderbilt won it all. I still believe, think about the basketball tournament. People love the underdog. They love Cinderella to a point. And then they want to see Duke and Carolina play and Kentucky and Kansas play, right?
Yeah.
And so I do think that, like, overall, what would the nation be okay with? I actually still think, like, people would be like, okay, Vanderbilt, that's just going too far.
Well, I also think there's like six, maybe seven teams that have a chance to actually.
Well, sure. I mean,
And
I'm ranking the
Vanderbilt is not on that list.
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm just saying if they were to win it, I believe that the team that would be most, or I guess least nauseating for the entire country. I mean, some fans hate them specifically or whatever, but I think for the entire country, I went with Oregon. They've okay. never won it. Their coach is likable. They have a fun quarterback. They have cool uniforms. And I just, you know, I think people could, like, they could buy it. It makes sense. Yep. And also, like, yeah, who hates the Ducks? Do you really hate the Ducks? Who hates the Ducks? So that was my number one team. And, of course, that's fair. Yeah. And now Indiana's up there, I think.
The coach is going to make it controversial with Indiana, though, because he talks a lot.
He does. And
which I kind of like, but some people don't.
And also, I still think some people can't wrap their head around Indiana. You know? I mean, it's only year two. Like, Northwestern got its 716th loss on Saturday, or I guess on Friday. And Indiana won, which means now Northwestern is the losingest all-time program at 7-16, and Indiana's at 7-15. They're in a hell of a race right now.
Yeah,
that's how bad Indiana's been. So I think some people can't wrap their mind around it, and I agree with you on Cignetti. I also think Texas A&M would be unacceptable. I think Elko is pretty likable.
I don't know, man.
You know, Marcel Reed, you know, he probably should be getting a little more Heisman love, Nashville's own.
They do some weird stuff down there.
They do. That is the thing. But I also feel like, because a lot of the country just hates the SEC, right? So it's like most of the SEC, it just like sounds terrible for like a lot of the country. Yeah. But I feel like Texas A&M, they don't necessarily get lumped in with like the Floridas and Georgias and Bama.
They're kind of their own thing.
Yeah, a little bit, you know? So, but
the midnight yell?
Yeah.
It's a little strange down there.
Oh, no, it's very strange. You know, the yell leaders and all that stuff. Yeah, no, it's... it's its own little world.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, like, their last national title, which was, like, I guess, right at, like, you really haven't had any other than, from 1936 on is only when you can really talk about national titles. There never was even a vote before then. But, like, their last one is 1939. Like, they basically have won in the poll era. So, like, they're due.
Yeah. I would say so.
And plus, like, anything that pisses off Texas fans should also make people happy, and this would.
Let me ask you this. Number one, how would people feel if Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin won? And number two, are they actually a national championship contender in your mind?
I say yes. They're fringe, but I do call them. I mean, look, the way Chambliss has played this year, I think their D's legit. They got a great running game. You know, I think that they're on the, you know, again, they're on the fringe, and it would take a heck of a performance. But I would have to consider them a contender. So I want to make sure I have this right. I ranked them fifth.
Okay.
Because I think Lane Kiffin has gone from like this like annoying little troll to like he's kind of funnier now, a little more mature.
Yeah.
I just feel like if they went on a run, he would be hilarious, right?
Yes.
And also, like, this is an SEC have not. This is they've never done anything. You know, they had Archie Manning. And then they had Eli Manning. Yeah. Like, what are they play in the Egg Bowl. Like, this is not SEC that you hate. So I actually think that Ole Miss would be pretty embraced.
I agree.
Mississippi State fans obviously disagree. But, again, we're talking about just, like, the general fan who it's not about their team or the rival. They're just like, okay, I guess I could live with that team winning it all. I think Ole Miss would be all right.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
You say Mississippi State wouldn't like it, but a lot of Tennessee fans wouldn't like it either. I'm
that
not
is
one
true.
Of them, but
that is true.
Yeah, but why are we complaining about the committee? Why is the committee basically singling out Pavia, and it could be because of his name, but why aren't they singling out Manning at Texas? He's the one that's either raising him up or bringing him down. What's the difference?
Well, the big difference there is that
Texas, by the numbers, has one of the most talented rosters in America.
Yeah, like in fact, you could argue that Arch Manning is not carrying them. In some games, he has been a detriment to them. Pavia carries.
Well, that's what I said. It's either Either Arch carries him or he brings him down, and like you said, mainly brings him down.
So, well, that's the thing, but he's not carrying. He doesn't carry them. Like, they are a very, very talented roster. Like, look, Vanderbilt, when you look at their roster, their recruiting rankings, their roster, their talent level is not Alabama. It's not Georgia. It's not Oregon. It's not any of those teams. It's not Texas. But Pavia is the difference maker. Texas is not that. Texas is very talented roster.
Right.
And also, so that's the difference.
And also, I mean, you know, again, Mac Rhodes was asked specifically about Vanderbilt last night. So, I mean, he's just answering questions that he gets. But, yes, when he mentioned Pavia, I took that, and it'd probably be better to have the audio, but I immediately put it on our live blog. I'm like, so he essentially just used Pavia against Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and, you know, and we talked about how this Pavia carries him. Again, he's not wrong, but it's also like, okay, if he's carrying them to 8-2 right now, and the way they've played week after week,
yeah,
are they less deserving because of that?
No, the difference lies in the roster, right? Like that's what it is. And I don't know how it's going to end up playing itself out because, to your point, last year, you know, the brands didn't win out, right?
Like
Alabama didn't get in.
You know how many people were like, "Oh, you ain't know the Bama's getting in." Well, they didn't.
Now, you'd have a hard time explaining to me right now that brand isn't playing a factor in Notre Dame being over Vanderbilt. So I don't know how it's going to end up playing out at the end of this thing. There's a lot of football left to be played, but that is, I guess, one of the beautiful things about the College Football Playoff Committee is it sure gives you a lot to talk about on a weekly basis.
And that's the whole thing, right? I mean, it's working, you know?
It is.
We'll be there next week, ready to bitch about something.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. A couple more thoughts to get to on the college football front. An NFL thought I want to get Rex Rhodes' opinion on as well. Coming up next, Paul Kuharski will be with us later on this hour. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5 The Game. Tonight on Totally Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on Evansville at 7 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Taking your thoughts on the college football playoff and a development in the NFL that I want to get Rex Rhodes' thoughts on here in just a minute. Brandon in Hermitage says, Pavia isn't necessarily carrying Vandy. Vandy has talent. They may not be five stars, but with Stowers, Alexander, etc., it's not like it's a group of bums that are 8-2 with an untalented roster.
Sure.
I don't think anybody's arguing that. But I also think, like, go look at Vanderbilt's roster and then go look at Ohio State and go look at Texas and go look at Georgia and Alabama. Like, it's not the same thing.
It's not. It does get a little muddled with, again, so Pavia counts as a zero star. You know, it gets a little muddled in this era with older players. They develop, they transfer, they didn't have great recruiting profiles as high schoolers. They've gotten a lot better. If you're an older team, you can make up a lot of that ground.
Yeah.
And I think Vanderbilt's good. They're better on the lines. They can hold up on the lines in the SEC. Fontenette, they've got some difference makers on defense for sure. Yeah, Alexander's really good. Sherrill, again, Stowers is a little disappointed. Brugger didn't have him in his top 50, but I think he's going to be I'd be surprised if Stowers gets out of the third round, doesn't get picked. So, yeah, they're talented. And as other people will point out here, okay, so take the quarterback away from – pick any of these teams and take the quarterback away.
Sure.
What happens?
Yeah,
in most cases, yeah, that's you got a real problem.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I know he was asked specifically about Vanderbilt. And I think you can make the case that Pavia, which is why, you know, some people think that the Heisman conversation with him is over, and I don't necessarily think that it is. I think you can make the case that he is carrying his team – as much or more than anyone is.
Yep.
Okay. So I think that's kind of the point of it. Like, you know, Vanderbilt's defense the last 2 weeks has just gotten shelled, right? Like, their defense is not good.
991 and 8 touchdowns.
So that is part of this, right? Like,
yes.
They have a bad defense at the moment. Now, it hasn't been bad all year from start to finish, but
no.
They've played very poorly the last couple of weeks. So, in addition to winning the next two games, it'd be great if they looked, you know, a lot better on defense than they've looked the last couple of weeks, too. I think that would go a long way towards helping their perception with the committee.
I agree. You know, they got this time off. They've got Kentucky. You know, Kentucky has figured some things out offensively, but if there's a get-right situation, extra time off, heal up, look at the film, figure some things out, and get right against Kentucky. It doesn't mean that, I mean, if you do, it doesn't mean that you're going to all of a sudden be able to go into Knoxville and lock that down. I just still think that's a bad matchup. I think it's a bad matchup for most defenses, frankly, when Tennessee executes. But, yeah, I agree. It would help the community. I also just, you know, it's just like I still stand by looking at all the things that would have to happen to keep a 10-2 Vanderbilt out. I just don't think they're all going to happen. So I think they're going to be fine if they win too. Also, if you're going by probabilities of what you think it are good, and we know that it won't all happen the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
But if you go with probabilities, I don't think Vanderbilt's getting in because I don't think they're going to win at Tennessee. I mean, I have to see them do it to buy it at this point. So I don't think they're getting in, but only because I think they're going 9-3, not because they won't get in at 10-2. At 10-2. I'd bet a large sum of money right now that they get in.
Yeah, I would agree with that. On the NFL front, Jameis Winston is apparently now starting at quarterback this week for the New York Giants as they take on the Green Bay Packers. And I swear to you, number one, if the Packers lose to my guy Jameis Winston, that's going to be a tough one. But my general point in this, like, do we think that Russell Wilson is done? Do we think that Russ is about to be cooked in the NFL? Because, you know, it's not gone well for him when he's been a starter the last few years. Clearly, there is something about him that just rubs people the wrong way when they're around him, right? Like, his old Seattle teammates apparently don't like him all that much.
Although for years there, because they were winning so much, that's a great culture thing. Though for years there, they're winning so much, and nobody cares.
Exactly. But in the aftermath of that, I mean, it's clear they don't really like him all that much.
Yeah.
Clearly, Sean Payton hated him. I mean, my goodness, he's still taking shots at him. And now, like, it didn't seem like he and Daboll got on all that well together either, to the point where Jackson Dart's in the injury tent. It's like, hey, get out of the injury tent. Russell Wilson's going to have to play quarterback. Get out of there. So
Stop talking to him, doctor. If he's, doctor, go away.
Number one, like, if he knows that at this point he's exclusively probably going to be a backup quarterback, which is what he is now at this point in his career, do we think that he is donezo in the National Football League?
Yeah, it's timing. Gosh, he and Cousins were in the, 12 draft class, you know, and logged a lot of miles. And, you know, it's funny, Russ Wilson, when he transferred from NC State to Wisconsin, I remember there was all this talk from out of NC State that, like, everybody at NC State hated his guts. Then he went to Wisconsin, and they're like, immediately, he's a captain, and he was great. I mean, he was a great player for 2 years at Wisconsin, obviously. Great quarterback. But, yeah, people don't like the guy. Like, people largely don't like the guy. And, yeah, I think he's cooked. He's lost. I don't know what it is. It still seems like he moves around all right, but he just isn't very good anymore, right? I think he's like he's plummeting into, like, so-so backup. Not even, like, an all-that-attractive backup territory in the league. But maybe I'm being hard on him. PK, well, am I being hard on him?
No, I think you've been soft on him. He doesn't move around well anymore. He's got no legs.
Is that what it is? I feel like when I watch him, he still can kind of extend plays and stuff like that, but maybe I'm wrong.
He's not very accurate with the football, I can tell you that. 58%
I think it's fantastic that there's a player in the league who goes so far that people will publicly hate him instead of privately hate him. It's great.
Yeah. But again, it is funny, right? Like, all those years in Seattle, it was just like, yay, the Leeds in the boom. We got Russ, everything. Yay, Marshawn, we love
it. Carroll keeping it all together.
And then the switch flipped, and they're like, we're out on this guy. We want him out of here. And
by the way, we all hated his guts for years. Yeah. I had to get an appointment with his secretary to talk to him.
Talked a lot of crap about him, and then it didn't take long in Denver for everyone to be like, this guy's got a damn secretary and an office. And he's not playing anywhere to the level that a guy would deserve any of that.
No one went to his birthday party?
Yeah,
no one was invited?
Didn't show up to his birthday party.
And then the new coach comes in and strips all of that. No more office, no more secretary, none of this.
Your secretary is fired. He's not allowed to show up in the building.
That's great.
What a meeting of egos that is, right? Russ and Peyton. It's one of those things where, like, either it's going to be incredible because they're both just jerks on the same page, or they're just going to hate each other.
Yep. Right? I think we figured out how that went.
Yeah.
PK, how are you?
I'm well. Good to be here. Good to be back in the swing of things. Can't wait to finish out this season.
Oh, yeah. A lot of good football left to be played.
Fired up to see what they've got left in them.
We will get into that with Paul Kuharsky throughout the remainder of the show. We got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. A lot of your thoughts to get to as well on the text line. Keep them coming. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You can't stay away from shellfish meat and meat.
How far up his ass are you, Paul?
Losing's really not in my vocabulary.
Hey, you okay in there? Or is it like, I stopped the testing. I need him on the field.
Get out of the tent.
Can he play?
He's in a coma.
Answer my question. Can he play?
Let's go play football.
Yeah, quit being a wuss. Get out of here.
Would you call this cutting someone's jugular, Mike?
You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joe, do you have a rant?
Well, yes, I do. Yeah, I do. No, look.
That's why. Moments ago, he said, who's ranting?
I want to give you an opportunity.
Who's ranting?
I'd like you to have an opportunity.
It's called the Rex Rant. I think it defaults to you unless there's prearrangement.
Which is fine. And I can rant. You know why I can rant? Because, let's see, what time was this? This was at 7:35 a.m. today.
Okay.
Okay? This was 11 minutes ago.
Today, that's when he found his rant.
What I did. I mean, I can find one in every word you say if you want me to.
No.
How about my rant is me slapping you?
He found his rant one minute ago.
Comes down to violence.
Yeah, it might. Sometimes it does need to be violence, okay? Sometimes that's the answer. Kids, don't listen to me. So, what were our topics today,
so
Robin?
It's great.
Shut up, Paul. What were our topics today? So our topics today have been Vanderbilt, you know, Pavia, the college football playoffs. Who the Titans should keep, right? Did we mention Mike Vrabel one time today?
No. We are now, though.
Here's the text we got at 7:35 a.m. Quote, your bizarre Vrabel worship never stops. Like, so I won't read the rest. Let me just stop right here. So, again, it's just like, let me say, snakes, like, what? Are you listening to the show or not? We didn't mention Mike Vrabel one time. Let's continue with the text. So you think Miss Amy made a mistake by firing the great one? Say she kept him even after two straight disaster seasons. Would she stick with him after last season? Blah, 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 blah. Just keep Vrabel forever and ever, no matter what. I'm not following your logic. End quote. We weren't talking about him today at all.
Who was the snakes
playing? Not one. Well, it's like if you just randomly yell something into the sky, you know? I mean, like, what?
You definitely yelled.
There's no faux outrage. You're outraging me, mother farter. Shut up.
Nervous.
That was close.
So
close.
Heart drops every time.
Get close every time. But
hope
seriously,
the radio skipped on that one.
Let me just take this to a bigger thing. Do we worship Vrabel on this show? I feel like I rip him all the time when we talk about him. Is saying that Amy made a mistake firing him worshiping Vrabel? I know PK kind of worships
him. I'm a pretty big fan.
You're kind of a Vrabel worshiper.
And it's getting bigger and bigger. The guys are doing that.
Turns out
he's
a good coach. I mean, I don't know what.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
Some people say.
That's fine.
Well, there are some Titans fans who think that, like, if you say anything good about him, that you're just an idiot. Like, the guy, he was 6-18 here the last 2 years, or the last year and a half of his tenure here.
What would have been better, sticking it out with Vrabel or going through what you went through with Callahan? I'll vote for the sticking with Vrabel 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I agree.
Admitting that sometimes, I guess, is
Vrabel worship.
Yeah, yeah. It's insane. I mean, again, if we are talking about Vrabel or whatever, whatever we're saying about Vrabel, even if we're ripping him, and you want to come in and say, you know, I'm sick of the Vrabel talk. Okay.
Sure.
If we don't mention his name at all on the show and then you start screaming, I don't care, Paul. I'm going to yell and you're going to listen to it. Then, I mean, I have a problem with that. This texter says, the texter's right. You all talk about Vrabel a lot. Well, the guy did coach here for a long time. it was a really dumb firing, and he might be the NFL coach of the year, and he's 8-2. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah. Is this a topic we need to completely
– By the way, you're 1-8.
Yeah. Like, I mean, what should we replace it with? Should we talk a little bit more X's and O's this week on the Titans? We got PK in studio. Should we get a little bit more of the X's and O's?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the third down matchup here, PK. Yeah.
What is the next circumference Davis Mills has?
I mean, it doesn't have to be Vrabel talk, but, I mean, we're talking generally about the failures of this team. And if you're talking about the failures of this team, it's hard not to look at a team that's looks like it's going to be very highly seeded in the AFC as compared to you in contention again for the number one pick. It's part of the story. Sorry.
It's funny that I actually brought this up with the ultimate Vrabel worshiper right next to us, actually. But again, I didn't bring it up. I mean, it's wild to me that, I mean, this is a new one.
I think it could be brought up legitimately weekly.
Yeah. No, I agree. Now, we had not talked about it today, but if we
thank you for opening the door. Now we have talked about it.
He is 8-2.
Yeah, so anyway, let's talk about Vrabel. I will say, as Nate points out, I have to get better about doing what Robbie does, you know, when I scream like that, back away.
Yeah, just back up.
Robbie's really good about backing up and then not hurting the listener's ears. But I kind of still feel okay about it because it hurt your ears specifically. So
Julio says, I mean, you covered Bucks-Pats game on Monday morning with very little Titans connection on Nashville radio. Newsflash, guys. The Titans didn't play this last weekend. They did not play football.
And that was a significant win. I mean, that was a significant matchup. Didn't we all think going in that team that won that game was going to legitimize itself to a new degree? I thought that would be a stumbling block for New England. And it wasn't much of a stumbling block for New England.
Yeah, I'm sorry we didn't break down the Titans on Monday morning after not having played a game.
Yeah.
Adam in Portland says, Joe hasn't been a Vrabel guy since he was mean to him about his ridiculous hands. I got your back, Joe. It's funny, but in all seriousness, like if we're going to go, you know, let's go with personal feelings, okay? Amy Adams Strunk, my personal dealings with her, nothing great. I've approached her before.
I'm surprised you could remember that so far long ago.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, she willing to talk. I've approached her. Even people tried to keep her away from me. She was great. Talked to her for a story, you know,
very
about like
former.
I personally have zero issue with her. Vrabel, sometimes I think he's a big turd and I'd like to kick his ass. I can't. He'd destroy me. But like I have disliked him at times personally. Like, shut up, dude. Like, get over yourself.
So, yeah, but you're dealing with him on a daily basis. You're dealing with her on an annual basis.
Yes, but the point is, Vrabel's good. He's 8-2. He's your former coach. It's going to be a topic. Amy has been a bad owner, so we talk about how she's a bad owner. This is not about personal stuff, okay?
Look, I've formed this conclusion more recently in another conversation about Vrabel. And go ahead and say that I'm a worshiper if you want. Mike Vrabel, to me, I've come to this conclusion recently about my feelings about Mike Vrabel. He energizes in some way everybody he comes into contact with, right? I think he energizes the janitor in the hallway who he gets to know and asks about his kid's baseball game and all of that. He energizes the players who sell out for him, and energizes in a different way the player who doesn't show up for him, right? He energizes the media, sometimes in a positive way and sometimes in a negative way. But there's a charge there.
Well, now he's just a media darling.
But listen, if you're in a press conference with Mike Vrabel, you've got energy going into that press conference. If you're going into a press conference with Mike McCoy.
I knew we were going to take this to Mike McCoy.
You're absolutely dreading it. There is no chance of anything happening in that room.
This turns into a Mike McCoy rip.
If you go into a press conference with Mike Vrabel, there's always a chance of something happening, right?
Sure.
There's never a chance of something happening with Mike McCoy. Never.
By the way.
And I just think that I like being around somebody that energizes
people. Why don't you get in there and piss him off? Man, you got the potential.
Yeah, I pissed him off, but he's not really piss-offable. He's a flat-line guy.
So the coma thing earlier was actually a very fitting intro to this rant.
I mean, the fact that Mike McCoy is in the league again, better yet in this position of powers, is incredibly embarrassing for the league.
There we go.
By the way, to swing this back around to the Titans, and you can leave the Vrabel part out of this if you want to, but does it not strike us that, you know, Mike Borgonzi last week didn't really want to talk about the coaching search at all? The one thing he did talk about, though, was, you know what? We really need a leader around here. We sure do. Need
a
leader.
He needs to connect. He and I need to connect.
I mean, doesn't that kind of tell you something?
Yeah.
They're now searching for what they have.
Yeah, they're searching for a Vrabel-like person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who fits that description the most of the candidates out there?
Robert Saleh.
I think so, too.
Is that your guy?
I think so, too. I think he's becoming my guy.
Ooh. Will you worship him like you worship Vrabel?
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll find out.
And I don't worship
You're
Vrabel.
You're a hell of a brown noser. We'll find out.
Yeah, hell of a brown noser. I got in those press conferences, and I brown nosed like crazy, and then he yelled at me. That's
okay.
a hell of a response to
me.
Good to
great.
Did you go good to great?
Just because you cherry pick all the times that he yelled at you doesn't minimize that he yelled at me more. Mostly because I was there every day, unlike you, who came and cherry-picked when you got yelled at.
He yelled at Glennon a pretty good
Talk it
too.
Through. Talk it through, Paul.
Like,
make yourself feel better.
Glennon took his fair share, especially because it's Glennon.
I know.
Well,
I know.
The Glennon that we leave behind.
Vrabel's stuff with Glennon was weird. Like, calm down.
Well,
dude.
Glennon, who was it that they claimed off waivers, the linebacker from Houston?
Cunningham.
Yeah. Zach Cunningham. Now, Glennon did the asking about Cunningham, even when Vrabel said, I'm not taking any questions about Cunningham. But then I did the hollering at Vrabel when he walked away.
You did. It was a great – it was a
– I mean, it was – that was a great
real mature
Friday
Mike.
Afternoon.
If ever there was a moment where you guys were the two guys in the Muppets balcony, it was
Stadler
that moment.
And Waldo.
Bob and Mount Juliet says –
And Joe just stood there.
Yeah.
I don't think I was there that day.
Oh, well, you know an awful lot about it for a guy that wasn't there.
That was good.
There's that great reporter watching on TV.
It was good.
Hey,
footage.
I could just report this sitting and watching.
Yeah. Was I ever a Titans beat writer?
No.
No, so shut up. All right, Bobby Mount Juliet says, good Lord, Paul, zip your pants up for Vrabel. He might energize the janitor, but he couldn't energize Andre Dillard, could he?
That's a good point, Bob. Andre Dillard sucked. He did, you know, they brought him in. And they found out he sucked.
So it's never Vrabel's fault.
That's totally,
nothing is ever Vrabel's fault, according to Paul Kaharsky.
That's totally Vrabel's fault. That's totally Vrabel's fault, Andre Dillard, that they took a flyer on Andre Dillard and he didn't work out. I'm allowed to like a coach. I hate everybody. I like this guy.
I love him, and I'm not going to stop loving him.
Well, didn't expect the rant to go that way.
I mean,
you
anybody,
never know.
Anybody that's thinking this team is better off because they fired Mike Vrabel, if you're still on that mountaintop screaming that, you're an idiot.
We'll have one more.
We'll
have more coming up.
We needed to endure Brian Callahan. That's the path. Go ahead. Call in.
Carthon, Callahan. Keep them coming. More Brinker. Paul Karski with us the next hour. We'll get into all things Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.